Glad you're here. Are you ready? Okay, let me talk to the camera. Okay. We welcome you, LifeGate Church, on a Wednesday night setting. We're studying the Antichrist tonight. Now, a lot of times when you hear the word Antichrist, our minds go alert, and we all of a sudden think about the book of Revelation. And we're thinking about all those horrible things that the Antichrist is going to bring upon our planet, bring upon our loved ones. That's what we think about when we say Antichrist. Well, I have something to tell you. Now, you won't believe me, so you'll have to look it up for yourself. But the word Antichrist is not in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to study the Antichrist. We're going to look at this horrible doctrine and see what it really says in the Word of God. Be with us and enjoy. Okay, you got your notes? Everybody got notes? If not, they're on the back rows back there. Page one of your notes. Antichrist is basically a fear phrase that preachers use on you. It's kind of like saying you're going to go to hell if you don't come to the altar. It's a fear tactic. It's something that is thrust at us and forced upon us, and it's a false doctrine, at least the way that it's basically been taught. And I really want us to see tonight what the Antichrist really is in the Scriptures. I want us to understand it. I want you to understand it. I want people that hear this to understand it. First thing I have here, under point number one, is give me your money. Now, I really believe that a lot of the people that are on television, a lot of people that teach this stuff about the Antichrist or whatever, is really after your money. I believe that any preacher that's worth his salt, any preacher that studies this Bible, any preacher that'll spend the time in this Word will know that the Antichrist has nothing to do with the book of Revelation. I believe that anybody that will take time and look at the Word of God will know what the Antichrist really is. They'll know that it's not a person, it's a spirit, and it's not going to happen, it's already happened. It's not going to come, it's already come. And there's not one, there's many. We're going to see all that today. But the people that throw this stuff at you, the people that really attack you with the thoughts of Antichrist and all this stuff, you go home today on television and you'll go home tonight and you'll start looking at television and I promise you, they're going to talk about that Antichrist just to get your money. And then they're going to try to sell you a videotape or sell you a book that's going to tell you what to do so you'll miss the Antichrist. I have a couple of passages here I just want to make reference to just to show you. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, I want to read this from both the King James and then from the Living Bible. It says there, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, does he say here that there may be or that there shall be false teachers? I want you to know amongst us right now there are false teachers. This isn't something that you might experience. This is something you have to discern. This is something you need to know. They're here and they're out there, and you've got to be able to discern the difference between the truth and the false. And the only way you'll be able to do that is to get into the Word and see what it says. He says, there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, what kind of heresies? Not just little heresies. Damnable heresy. I'm telling you, the Antichrist philosophy is a damnable heresy. Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto them themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their perniscuous ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. Now say that word right. Pernicious ways. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Now, what are they trying to do with their words? Sell you a book, a video, a prayer cloth. They're trying to get your money. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then, looking at this from the Living Bible, which is a little easier for me to read, But there were false prophets too in those days, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly tell their lies about God, turning against even their master who bought them. But theirs will be a swift and terrible end. And then going to verse 3, these teachers in their greed will tell you anything to get hold of your money. Now that's the truth, folks. I want you to know it. And you need to know what the Antichrist really is about. I want to talk about the Antichrist mythology. A lot of times when you talk about the Antichrist, or you first start reading about the Antichrist, or somebody tells you about the Antichrist, it sounds like the old Hercules stuff. You know, the Zenith, the warrior princess, or Zeus, the god of gods. It's like this mythology stuff. And so what I want to kind of tell you right off the bat here is the legend of the Antichrist. Let me tell you about this. Now, how this works. The Antichrist is supposedly already in existence in our planet. Now, he's been 40 years old since 1960. Because that's about the first time I started hearing about him, 60s and 70s, right in there. You start hearing about the Antichrist. He's already in the world. And I heard the same guy that told me back then that he was about 40. He told me just a couple of weeks ago he was 40. I don't know how he knows this, but this is his theology. You see, they have to keep adjusting it to keep you believing it. Anyway, he's in the earth already, and he is the son of the devil. He is the son of the devil. He has a birthmark someplace on his body that equates to 666. This is the legend of Antichrist. Does it sound like a mythology thing? It does to me. He receives his power from his father, the devil. And just before he moves into this great power and that he's going to have, God raptures his church. Just before this Antichrist person moves into his great power. Nearly overnight, I mean, it's got to be within a very, very short period of time, nearly overnight, what he will do is captivate the whole planet. He'll captivate them by his wisdom because he has all the answers to all the problems. And he captivates the whole planet by his glamour. He'll take the third world country, or at least in monetary ways at least, Italy, and he'll take Rome and he'll make it the most powerful nation in the whole world. He will somehow, in this very short time, nearly overnight, make this little country that has no real power, he'll make it the most powerful country in the whole world. After about 3.5 years of him seemingly doing good, he turns evil. And somehow he's killed. But he's raised from the dead by the devil. Now that ought to throw all sorts of question mark. When has the devil ever raised anybody from the dead? And he never will. But anyway, this is the legend of Antichrist. Tremendous wars will break out. In fact, he will instigate these wars, and he will begin to control the world. He will begin to take over the world, and nuclear warfare will break out all over the planet. The events of Revelation will begin to unfold, and that means, you know, the stars will fall from heaven. And the water turns to blood, and famines and pestilence, and mountains crumble, and these kinds of things begin to happen. The Battle of Armageddon takes place, and millions of Jews are killed. Now, blood's up to the horse's bridle. Let me just stop there just a second. Now, a lot of people say that you talk like you're anti-Semitic. You know what that means? That I don't like the Jews. That's not true. My doctrine says that the Jews have already been judged by God. That he loves the Jews, but he loves you and I also. That there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, barbarian nor Scythian. Not in this, in the Bible that I have, that's what it says. This doctrine says, and they say I'm anti-Semitic. This doctrine says that we've got millions and millions and millions of Jews to kill. And they say I'm anti-Semitic. They say I don't like the Jews. What are they going to do to them? Blood up to the horse's bridle. How much death is that? There aren't that many Jews. But this is the difference of the doctrine. See, I'm saying God's already dealt with them. The tribulation was for them. And now he's coming, but this is the legend of Antichrist. He will march upon the city of Jerusalem and upon the temple. He'll win the battle with the Jews. He'll march upon the city, and then he'll tear down the temple. Not one stone will stand upon another. This will be the abomination of desolation that Jesus and Daniel spoke about. Finally, the Lord will come at the end of 7 years of this. Finally, the Lord will come and defeat the Antichrist, cast him into the lake of fire, and then take the devil and bind him for 1,000 years. That is the legend of Antichrist. Does that sound like mythology or like the Bible? Now, I'm going to work on all this, and we're going to answer some of these questions that I know some of you have. I want to, first of all, tell you about some contemporary Antichrist. Since I've been in church, and since I can remember, there's always been somebody that was the Antichrist. I was born in 1948, and Hitler was just killed. So Hitler was the Antichrist, or they thought that Hitler was the Antichrist. But was he? No, he didn't come back alive anyway. Hollywood has taken this whole theme and this mythology thing, and they have capitalized on it. They make a bunch of money off of this thing. They make a bunch of money off of Christians selling us books and tapes and all these things about the Antichrist and all this stuff that's going to happen. In my lifetime, it's been the Pope. The Antichrist has been the Pope. It's been Henry Kissinger. It's been Nikita Khrushchev. It's been Mikhail Gorbachev. It's been Ronald Reagan. And I'm sure there's many others that I can't think of. Bill Gates. Lately, one of the last ones that we're all familiar with was David Koresh. Remember that? They said he was going to come back alive after he burned in this. Has he?
Didn't happen.
It hadn't happened yet. I mean, Elvis. It's always somebody. It was Hitler. It was Joseph Stalin. It always is adjusting to whatever is going on in the earth. They're always adjusting this doctrine. You know, I have problems with the doctrine that has to keep adjusting all the time. When they tell me one day it's this thing or one day it's that thing and it doesn't work out the way they say it is, we're going to be raptured in 1988. It doesn't happen. So then he writes another book, sells just as many copies of why he missed it and why it's really going to happen in 89. Now, I wouldn't listen to that guy anymore. I have problem listening to these people when they're consistent. You tell me one thing they're right about. Tell me one thing that they've ever talked about that happened. They adjust their doctrine. Okay. Page 2. What is Antichrist? What is it? It's found in the King James Version 5 times. The same writer writes it all 5 times. John, the writer of Revelation, who also wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and St. John, is the only writer in the whole book that uses the word Antichrist. It's the Greek word Antichristos. And what it means is the one who is the opponent of the Messiah. Now, it's only found 5 times. Now, I don't say that to diminish its importance, but it's only found 5 times written by the one author. Jesus never used it. Paul never used it. The Apostle John was the only person that used it. And the only reason I'm trying to say this and emphasizing this is to let you know it was not a large Bible doctrine. It was not nearly as important to them as it is to us, because John was the only one that spoke of it. And then he was very clear in what he was trying to get his points across. Now, Antichrist, point number 5, Antichrist, an opponent to the Messiah. Now, where do they get the Messiah? Where do they get the name or the title Messiah? Where does that term come from? It's not a New Testament word. Where does it come from? Old Testament. Where from? Got it right here, Daniel, the book of Daniel. And his 70-week prophecy, remember that one? 70 weeks are given for your people, for your holy city. Not for us, not for the planet, but for Daniel's people and for Daniel's city. 70 weeks were given. And in that prophecy, he mentions the Messiah, and he mentions him twice. Messiah the Prince and Messiah in Daniel 9:25 and in Daniel 9:26. Now, Messiah, of course, is a Hebrew term, and it means anointed as a king, specifically the Messiah. Messiah means anointed as the king. So the Messiah was the one that the Jews awaited from Daniel's prophecy 483 years. Right? Now, why would God tell them 483 years that something was going to happen? Why would he tell them 483 years before it happened? So they wouldn't miss it. I mean, if I tell you way in advance that something's going to happen, I want you to prepare for it. I want you to recognize it when it happens. You got a long time to get ready. And he still came, and they still rejected him, and they still killed him. Now, I'm reading here on page 2, left column. Come down to it's the next to the last paragraph. But I want to read that paragraph that starts with the word Antichrist. The word Antichrist means an opponent of the Messiah. So we ask, who was the opponent of the awaited Messiah? Somebody tell me. Judaism. Pardon? Judaism? Who else was the opponent of the Messiah? Who else? Was there anybody else that Rome didn't? What did Pilate say? Man, take the guy. He's done nothing. I wash my hands of this situation. Who was the only opponent of the Messiah? Let me ask you that way. The Jews. And over and over and over, the Bible tells us over and over and over. So just from that simple equation, just from saying that the Antichrist means the opponent of the Messiah, who would that be? The Jews, Judaism. Then am I saying that Antichrist was Judaism? You're doggone right, that's what I'm saying. And there was many of them. Everywhere that the apostles went, there they were, opposing the Messiah. Are they still doing it? Yes. Nothing opposed the Messiah as did Judaism. Now, on page 2, on the right column, number 6, Antichrist Scriptures. Now, I've already told you that it's only found 5 times in the Bible. In all the New Testament, the word Antichrist or Antichristos is only found 5 times. And I want to look at all 5 of these real rapidly. First one is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Are you ready? Now, if you've never heard me teach this, if you've never read it, or if you've never had anybody share about Antichrist with you, it's going to be a little shocking. But just go ahead, and then I've got it here for you. Now, the Bereans were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? They searched the Scriptures to see if these things be so. You be noble. If you haven't heard this, you have a problem. Before you call me a heretic, you go home and search the Scriptures. You go home and see if these things be so. Here it is for you, but maybe I've changed something. Maybe I've altered the way it reads. You go home and be sure. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. Now, I'm going to deal with that in just a second, but what time was it then? The last time. Now, when did John write this? Around, that's good. 60 to 90 A.D. I mean, the latest would have been 90. Earliest would maybe have been 60. But it was right in there at the last time. Now, we have a problem, and we think God has a problem telling time. We do. We think that when he says shortly, that really means 2,000 years. I want you to know God does not have a hard time telling time. The whole book of Revelation 7 times says, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming soon, I'm coming shortly. But we throw that thing out there for 2,000 years. That was not true, folks. What, he came exactly like he said he was coming. The book was written about A.D. 65. He came in A.D. 70. Well, A.D. 66, actually. Let me do that real fast. Here are some verses here for you that just to show you God can tell time. And he doesn't have a hard time telling time. Look at Daniel 10:1. Now, I'm going to just skip over Daniel 8:19 just to show you a few of these. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Now, does that sound shortly, or what does that... Does God know it's going to be a long time? So what does he say when he thinks it's going to be a long time? What does he say when it's going to be a long time? It's going to be a long time. Right? Yeah. And he understood the thing, Daniel did, and had understanding of the vision. And again, we were talking about this a little bit last week. That's probably why I did it. But did this vision come to give him confusion or understanding? Listen, I want you to understand, you can understand the Bible. He will make sure you understand the Bible. It's not to, the book of Revelation isn't to give you confusion. The book of Revelation is to give you understanding. Daniel 11:35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now, is that a short time or a long time or a time appointed? So an appointed time. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now, when was the book going to be sealed? Now, you got to, please, time of the end. Now, what did he tell you? Let's make sure we're all together. What did he tell Daniel to do with this book? Gave him this, all these prophecies, all these beasts, all this turmoil, all this stuff's going to happen. And then he says, but it's for a long time. It's for an appointed time. Shut the book, seal it up until the time. Now, Daniel 12:6. And one said to, now, Daniel's had all these visions. This is the end of the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. And he sees these angels sitting out there in the river. And he said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, forever, that it shall be for a time and a half time. Now, does that sound like a short time, long time? What is that? To me, that sounds like it's going to be a long time. Time and a half time. And when he, now who is he here? When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. Who would that be? We're talking about the Messiah, folks. This whole thing was about the Messiah. And when he, the Messiah, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. And what's the purpose of all this vision? Scatter the power of the holy people. Who's the holy people? Let's make sure that we're the Jews. When he scattered the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, when did that historically happen? Yes, it did. That literally and historically happened. They are not the same country today. Israel is not the same Israel that it was then. Do you realize that? They don't have a temple. They don't have animal sacrifices. There's no blood. They try to go through the forms of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And their power is scattered. Daniel 12:9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now, what did he say to do with this book? Close it up and seal it. Now, we've got to compare that with the book of Revelation, chapter 22:10, to make sure God knows what he's doing here, okay? In Revelation, chapter 22, verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings. I lose a page. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's 2,000 years away. If it, you know, Daniel said it's a long ways off, and he was only talking about 483 years. Mm-hmm. How in the world can we allow the dispensationalists to say that it's soon, it's quick, it's shortly, to be 2,000 years? How many are starting to see we've been lied to? We've been merchandised. Let's look at a few more. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, for verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Now, when was the blood of Christ given? It was the last times. Now, whatever, if you say it was 2,000 years ago, then you're telling me that the last times was 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. The last times of what? That. What? Judaism, the law. The law has ended. Judaism has ended. The last times. What they saw was two times or two covenants. The old times, the old covenant, the new times, the new covenant. You know, I'll probably mention this in just a little bit, but this book is titled Beginning of the End. Beginning of the End. But I want you to know you're closer to the end of the beginning. Folks, we are coming to the end of the beginning. The beginning was at the ascension. When did he receive his kingdom? You know that. Daniel chapter 7. At what? At the ascension. All right. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers and the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, when did he speak? When did Jesus come and speak to the people? The last days. So the last days, folks, when the Bible speaks of the last days, it's talking about those days. And God does not have a hard time telling time. Let's get on. Let me read this paragraph right under Hebrews 1:1 and 1:2. When John the Baptist and Jesus said the kingdom was at hand, what did they mean? God does not have a difficult time telling time. If he means a long time, he says the time appointed was long. If he means quickly, soon, shortly, at hand, then that is what he says. So when Jesus says the time of the kingdom is at hand, what did he mean? The book of Revelation says these things are going to happen shortly. What does it mean? Good. Now, back to the verse again. First use. Let's read it again. I'm reading on the right side. It says here in 2:18. Says, I did that. I just got tired of it clicking. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, John, we've already talked about it was the last time. This is the first use. And you know how big I am on first use. The first use, a time a word is used in the Bible, it's the first use. It's the seed. Every time that word is used, from then on out, it's going to have that seed in it. For example, the first grain of corn was the first seed. And as it became a seed of corn, every seed since that time has been... had that seed incorporated into it. Every time we read the word Antichrist, from here on out, we will know something about this word Antichrist. Notice, first of all, it's not capitalized. What do you capitalize? The names of people, places, and things, right? It's not capitalized. King James doesn't capitalize it. NIV doesn't capitalize it. NRS doesn't capitalize. What does that tell me? It's not a person. Okay. Number four. Even now are Antichrist, plural. Read the verse again. Look on the right column. Come up till you see it. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrist. When was this written? 60 to 90 AD. Were there Antichrists then? He says, even now are there Antichrist. If I got something here now, do we see this? We're waiting. See, we're told, we're deceived, we're squandered, we're merchandised, that it's something that's going to happen. And folks, what I'm telling you tonight, what I'm trying to get across to this region and this area, is that it's already happened. What they're telling us is going to happen and try to make us fearful is already taking place. And we're right now supposed to be experiencing the kingdom of God. There are now Antichrist. How many of you have heard that Antichrist shall come? Have you ever heard that? So that's what John says. Is that not what the verse says? Little children, it is the last times, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Have you ever heard that? Yep. What does John tell them 2,000 years ago? He's already there. Okay. On the number five, there are many Antichrists. What does dispensationalists tell us? There's one. One bad guy. He's going to rule. How many are there? Many bad guys. And he's not coming. He's already come. Many Antichrist. All righty. Come on down to bottom of page 3, point B. Looking at the second version. You can take this home and read it. And the second time the word is used is found in 1 John 2:22. Let's read it. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He is Antichrist. Now, is he talking here about the atheist? Page 4. No, that's not what his thought is here. He's talking about a person or a system that denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That denies what? The Father and the Son. He's not talking about an atheist. In fact, I don't even believe there really are any. But what he's talking about here is a system such as Judaism that denies that Jesus was the Christ. Did Judaism do that? Did Judaism say, you're not the Son of God? You're blaspheming. What is Antichrist? He that denieth the Father and the Son. Any religion, any system that rejects that Jesus is the Son of God is Antichrist. Tell me about Jehovah's Witnesses. Tell me about them. Come on. Antichrist. Tell me about Buddha. Buddhism. Antichrist. It's not a person, it's a spirit. It's a system that says that he's not Christ. There's not one, there's many. And he's not coming, he's already come. Okay. Which one? Okay. He has, right, has already. There you go. Where am I at? All right, point C. The third time that it's used, 1 John 4, 2 and 3. It's actually going to be used in 3, but I want to read 2 also. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit, every what? Spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Then verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit. The what? Spirit of Antichrist. It's not a person, it's a spirit, it's a system. It's anything that offends or comes against or opposes the Messiah. And John's primary thought here is that it's Judaism. Who was the Antichrist in John's day? Judaism. It is the spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already where? Does he emphasize that again? Where is it? You've heard that it's going to come, but what does he say? It already is in the world. Spirit of Antichrist, number one there. Make sure we see that. I've already talked about it. It's a spirit. It's not a person. Now, the dispensationalists say it's a man. Dispensationalists say it's a person. Bible says what? It's a spirit. Dispensationalists say it's going to come. Bible says? It's already come. Bible says, dispensationalists say it's one guy we're waiting on. Bible says there are many. The last one, 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. It's a deceiving spirit that tells you Christ. What does Christ mean? King, Messiah, the anointed as king person, that he's not come. Say something like this today. Oh, he's king, but he's not king yet. He's got to come back. He's got to rapture the church. He's got to have this 7-year tribulation before he can really be king. That's what that spirit says today. And it deceives us, and it merchandises us. And it takes your money. It's taking your grandmother's money. It takes people's money. You'll go home today and they'll try to sell you a video of Y2K. Y2K, that's the beginning of the Antichrist. Yeah. Here's a book. And I'm not going to say his name. The Lord's told me not to name names while they're living. And here's what he says. The assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. Remember that one? And the coming Antichrist. Beginning of the end. I'm here to tell you, folks, we're closer to the end of the beginning. That thing began at his ascension. We're getting close now to the end of the beginning. We're getting close now. The coming, as we talked last time about the rapture, the coming of the Lord on a cloud. The trump of God shall sound. Come on. Yeah. the voice of God shall sound. The angel will blow the trumpet. Come on. The dead in Christ. When is the resurrection?
The last day.
How many days are after the last day?
None.
And then we which are alive in the meeting shall be caught up together with him in the air. Evermore be with the Lord. What is the Antichrist?
It's the spirit.
Is it coming?
It's already here.
Are there one?
No.
There's many. What is it? It's a deceiving spirit that tells you that Christ the King is not come. Thanks for being with us on Life at LifeGate Church, finding life with LifeGate. Hope this has been enjoying to you. Listen, the notes are on the web, www.lifegatechurch.com. They're free. Go get them. You can have the exact notes that we have right here. I want you to get them. I want you to look at them. Study to see if these things be so. Stop being merchandise. Let God administer to you His Word. Listen, I want you to come and be with us at LifeGate Church. Listen, you'll love it. God come to give you life and that abundantly. God bless you. Okay.